News, sports, AccuWeather, and more. Wake up with the information you need on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Mark Lawrence here, Rob Center there. We got a reminder, Route 15 is blocked in both directions at Furnace Road or in the vicinity of Furnace Road. If you're headed south, it's before Furnace Road. So before Furnace Road in Lewisburg is where that crash is. So we'll keep you posted about that, but that is blocked there. Time for Movie Mike McGranahan, professional movie critic. His website is aisleseat.com. I haven't been on aisleseat.com in almost about 18 hours or so. Check out a movie we plan to watch. He's a staff writer for Ranker, author, prolific tweeter at aisleseat, although you're easing up on the tweeting a little bit.
Well, I was really busy writing
and watching movies this week. Oh, yeah, okay. So I'll be back in form here probably later today.
Oh, goody. Okay. That's fabulous. All right. His appearance always sponsored by Campus Theater. Theater.org. His review of what looks like the most exciting Bond movie ever, No Time to Die. Mike?
No Time to Die marks the final appearance of Daniel Craig as James Bond. To say he goes out with a bang would be an understatement. There's a new chemical weapon on the scene, and it threatens to obliterate mankind. 007 sets out to stop that from happening, which puts him up against longtime nemesis Blofeld, played by Christoph Waltz, and a new bad guy, played by Rami Malek. No Time to Die has everything we've come to expect from a Bond movie. Thrilling action scenes, cool gadgets, a dazzling opening credits sequence, and so on. Here's what makes it special, though. The Daniel Craig run has spent a little time in each installment looking at James Bond as a person, not just as a spy. No Time to Die pays that off magnificently. The wonderful French actress Léa Seydoux returns as his love interest from Spectra, and the movie spends time digging into how their relationship has changed him. That leads to an emotionally powerful finale that will leave Bond fans both shaken and stirred. At 2 hours and 43 minutes, the film is a little on the long side. Turns out there's plenty of time to die, and plenty of time for a bathroom break. Too. That one minor issue aside, No Time to Die is a highlight not just of the Daniel Craig era, but of the Bond franchise overall. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 3.5 Moonrakers.
Wow, 3.5 for a Bond film. Okay, so
yeah,
this
it's
is
really
the,
good one.
In terms of action, this is the precise opposite of a Fast and Furious. Tons of great action, but all with a plausible through-line plot.
Yeah, one of my complaints about the Bond movies, even the ones that I like, is that the plots tend to be very convoluted, and at some point I usually give up trying to follow them and just say, okay, he's after the bad guy. This one actually has a plot that you can follow. There are action scenes in it. The action scenes are great, but they're spaced out a little bit. There's some time spent on this relationship between James Bond and this woman that he loves who has hurt him, and he's trying to reconcile with her, and she's, you know, figures into this whole scheme that's going on. So there's some really interesting James Bond as a man material in here, and I really like that because we haven't seen a lot of that in the previous Bond movies.
All right, and the length of it, you observed that. How long is it?
It's 2 hours and 43 minutes. I think that they could have trimmed the third act a little bit. It's very long. I mean, it doesn't necessarily feel that long because there's so much happening in it that it moves pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. But that third act, there's a couple areas where they could have just trimmed it a little bit and maybe gotten it down to 2.5 hours.
And where do we see this film?
In theaters.
And only theaters
only
at this
theaters.
Time.
Yep.
When it comes time to be on some sort of a streaming service, do you know where it will appear or just as a pay-per-view?
It'll be as a pay-per-view.
Just available in general. Okay, so that's the Bond film. All right, but the Bond films also have occasionally some social statements in them, maybe some statements about relationships and so on. This is that depth that you talked about in the characters, and this one hits it.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever seen a movie go in depth about James Bond as a human being than this film goes into. It's a really nice addition to it. And part of that is just necessitated by change. You know, in the 70s and 80s, Bond was a womanizer, and he was constantly in bed with somebody different and love him and leave him. That doesn't fly so well in the modern era. So they've had him really more of a guy who can fall in love, who can have a relationship. I don't want to give away anything that happens in the last act of this movie, but, you know, he does have an important relationship that changes who he is, not as a spy, but as a man, and that to me was just a really interesting way to go with the character, to let us get to know him a little bit more.
All right, well, and that little clue's in the trailer. That's what
yes.
I saw. Both of the trailers have, there's a woman that's as you can see that there's a relationship there. Okay, so that is the Bond film. Anything else important to say about that? Just a good old action film?
Yeah, for me, you know, the highlight of any Bond movie is the opening title sequence, which is always very stylized. They always get some hot musical artist. This time the song is done by Billie Eilish, who's about the hottest musical performer around right now. And really, for me, this is one of the best opening credit montages.
Okay, 3.5?
Moonrakers.
Okay, super. Is that one of your other favorites?
That's one that I saw a lot when I was growing up. Oh, I don't know okay. That that's the best one, but...
What is one of the best ones?
This is one of the best ones. I think Skyfall is one of the best ones. Certainly some of the ones with Pierce Brosnan, like GoldenEye, that would certainly have to go near the top.
And Daniel Craig won't come back. This is the end of that.
He's done, yes. Okay. He is retired as Bond.
But we don't know who the next one is. That's too soon to even speculate.
Right.
All right. Well, there are some decent action characters out there, so we'll see how that goes. It's always somebody who I'm not sure why they picked him, and then I'm totally convinced why they picked him.
Yeah.
Afterward, they seem to grow into the character. Okay. Next up, other new movies. What else is coming out?
We have The Last Duel, which is a historical epic starring Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, and Adam Driver, directed by Ridley Scott. And then we've got Halloween Kills, which is the newest installment in the Halloween franchise with Michael Myers, and a sequel to the one that came out in 2018. Now, there's a little bit of a fishy situation going on here. Halloween Kills was supposed to screen for critics, including me, this past Tuesday night. I was supposed to see it. I was going to review it today on the show. 2.5 hours before that was supposed to take place, Universal abruptly canceled the screenings for film critics. So they don't want us to look at this movie yet. I think they're anticipating that the reviews are not going to be good. So we'll see. They did reschedule it for me this morning, you know, opening day. So we'll see. But apparently Universal doesn't have a lot of confidence that this is going to get great reviews.
All right. And that makes a big deal at the box office, the actual box office, because you don't want people to say, oh, well, you know, movie Mike hated it or whatever.
Right, right. Let's skip it. And the other thing that they're doing, too, they're releasing it in theaters, but also on the Peacock streaming service at the same time, which is another sign that maybe they don't have full confidence in this movie.
Okay. And generally speaking, you like some of the Halloween films that have come out.
Halloween is probably my favorite of the franchise horror movies. Yeah, I think the original was a classic, the one John Carpenter directed. Some of the other ones are pretty good, too. I like Halloween 2. Halloween 3 has nothing to do with Michael Myers, but that's kind of a fun film on its own. Halloween H2O, I like the one from 2018 that brought Jamie Lee Curtis back. So not every one in this franchise is a winner, but they have a better batting average than a lot of the other ones.
Okay, so we'll keep an eye on that. So that's happening. Okay, so The Last Duel, Halloween Kills, anything else new?
That's it. The Campus Theater in Lewisburg is getting The Card Counter, starring Oscar Isaac and Tiffany Haddish, one of my favorite movies of the year. It's kind of been under the radar, but a really great drama about gambling and a man trying to get his life together and atone for some past sins. So if you're looking for something really good to see, The Card Counter is at the Campus Theater this weekend.
All right, so keep an eye on that. Maybe a couple showings next week. You never know, so we'll keep an eye out there. Let's see. A bisexual Superman. You tweeted about that this week between writing and so on. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is kind of interesting. There's a series of comic books called Superman, Son of Kal-El, and it follows Superman's son, John Kent, and in this one, he is revealed as bisexual after falling for a male reporter. Now, this is kind of interesting because, of course, this has stirred up some controversy among mostly people of a certain political party. I'm not going to get political. I don't like to talk politics. I don't like to inject my own politics. But it has proven controversial in some circles. You know, it seems like an interesting way to go, but we'll see whether or not that impacts sales. There are some people who think this is a really great idea and it's inclusive, and there are other people who say this is woke and this is terrible. So we'll see what that means for the future of Superman. But the new Superman is officially bisexual.
Okay. So, and this is so far just in the comics at
just
this
in
point.
The comics, right.
Okay. So we're not seeing that on the big screen yet. But a lot of these storylines, particularly if they turn out to be successful, end up on the big screen. And then we'll hear about them.
Yeah. It could pave the way somewhere down the line for this character to be brought into film. And that could be part of it.
Well, you tweeted out, I guess it was a an anime picture of Superman kissing the reporter, the male reporter. So that was probably the most circulated animation in the world. I mean, it was posted everywhere. AP had it and CBS and everybody was talking.
Yeah. Yeah, it turned out to be a big story. And Dean Cain, who played Clark Kent slash Superman on the TV show Lois and Clark back in the 90s, he was one of the people who came out opposed to it.
All right. Gilligan's Island, a scary version could come out?
James Gunn, the guy who did Suicide Squad, pitched a version, a horror version of Gilligan's Island where everybody goes crazy and starts to kill each other. The studio was into it, but the guy who created Gilligan's Island refused to let him do it, and his estate is refusing. So that would be great to see sometime, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen.
All right. And then Jamie Lee Curtis honored her mother at the Halloween Kills premiere.
She showed up dressed as her mom, Janet Lee, in Psycho. So if you go online and Google that, it's just really fun to see her honoring her mom by dressing up as her mom's most iconic character.
Yeah, I heard about that this week. That was certainly noteworthy to look at. And it, more than just a double take, a lot of lingering looks just to see what was there. Thank you so much.
Thanks
Movie
for having
Mike
me.
McGranahan. Movie Mike McGranahan, his appearance is always sponsored by Campus Theater, Lewisburg. We always are excited because we know now we are going to see Movie Mike at the movies.